بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، خصوصا على سيد الأنبياء وإمام الرسل، سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا وقرة أعيننا ومولانا محمد، وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، يقول الله تبارك وتعالى في كلامه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد، وهو العليم الحكيم، ويقول سبحانه وهو الحكيم الخبير، ويقول سبحانه وهو العزيز الحكيم، ويقول سبحانه ذو العرش المجيد، ويقول سبحانه إنه حميد مجيد، ويقول سبحانه وإن تكفروا فإن لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وكان الله غنيا حميدا، ويقول سبحانه وقال موسى إن تكفروا أنتم ومن في الأرض جميعا فإن الله لغني حميد، ويقول سبحانه واعلموا أن الله هو الغني الحميد، ويقول سبحانه الله ولي الذين آمنوا، ويقول سبحانه إن وليي الله الذي نزل الكتاب وهو يتولى الصالحين، ويقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن أفضل عباد الله يوم القيامة الحمادون، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، ويقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما أنعم الله على عبد نعمة فقال الحمد لله إلا كان الذي أعطاه أفضل مما أخذه، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. ربي يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير وبك نستعين يا فتاح، ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري. اللهم صل على محمد، اللهم صل على محمد، اللهم صل على محمد. One of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Hakim. He is the all-wise being. And the saying is وَفَعْلُ الْحَكِيمِ لَا يَخْلُوا عَنْ حِكْمَةٍ. The action of the all-wise being is not free and devoid of some underlying wisdom. Every decision, decree, and action and ruling of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has some wisdom behind it, whether we understand it or not. And generally, this attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is used with other attributes in the Quran. For example, in one verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. He is the all-knowing, all-wise. In another verse he says, وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ. He is the all-wise, all-aware. In another verse Allah ta'ala says, وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. He is the almighty, all-wise. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is knowledgeable of all things and aware of his creation, and he has the power and might to do whatever he wants, hence every decision and decree and action and ruling of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have some underlying wisdom behind it, whether we understand it or not. عَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌّ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. You might dislike something, whereas this is better for you, actually. And on the other hand, you might like something, whereas it is actually bad for you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, and you do not know. فَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. You might dislike something, whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed immense goodness in it for you. It is said that there was once a very pious man who was living with his family in the wilderness. And they had three animals with them: a rooster to give adhan and wake them up for Salatul Fajr, a dog to protect their house, and a donkey that they would use as their conveyance and ride and to carry their belongings and their loads. One day a fox came and attacked the rooster. So then the wife, she started to cry and she became upset. The husband said, "Oh, my dear wife, do not cry anymore. Do not cry so much. There is some goodness in this." The following day, a wolf came and attacked the donkey. So now their ride and conveyance and their truck is gone. So then she started to cry even more than the previous day. The husband said, "Oh, my dear wife, do not cry so much. There is some khair in this." The following day, unexpectedly, the dog also died. So then she started to cry even more because the cause of their safety and protection is now also dead. The husband said, "Oh, my dear wife, do not cry. There is some khair in this from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." The following day, an army of thieves came to loot the entire area. And they looted every single house where they came across any sign of any human living there. Because they had a dog that started barking, or they had a donkey that started making noise, or a rooster that started making noise. So all of their wealth was stolen, and they were enslaved. They were made into slaves, except for his family and his house. They didn't know that anyone was living there, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected their wealth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved them from being enslaved. So this is when the husband told his wife, in every decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is some goodness. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not take away these animals before today, then our fate would have also been the same as these people. So every decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has some wisdom behind it, even if we don't understand it. It is said that there was once a king. He had a minister who had an unusual habit. Whenever anything happened, whether good or bad, he would say immediately, "Whatever Allah Ta'ala does, there is some khair in it." So once the king, he cut his finger and it fell off. Immediately the minister said, "Whatever Allah Ta'ala does, there is some goodness in it." So this king, he became very upset. He said, "Take this person to the prison and punish him." What is he saying? I cut my finger and he's saying this. The following day, he went with his companions and friends for hunting. And then he went far away looking for an animal, and he became lost. In the meantime, he took a rest because he did not know the road back to his companions. So when he was taking a rest, a lion emerged from behind and he started to smell him. So this king, he acted like he was dead. And then this lion, he saw that this person's finger is cut. And a lion is a very ghayur animal. It doesn't accept shirk in its food. So if it is the prey of another animal, the lion will not prey on this creature. So seeing this, the lion left. And in the meantime, his companions and friends were looking for him. They found him. So when they saw that he's alive and well, they made shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he came back, he said, "My minister, bring him here. I have to give him a big reward. Actually, what I did was incorrect. I shouldn't have put him in prison and punished him." And then he told his minister, after hugging him and giving him like something as a gift and as a prize, he said, "In reality, what you said was true. My cutting my finger was good for me, because if I did not cut my finger, then I would be dead today. The lion would have attacked me." But I don't understand, like when you were told to go to prison and be punished, even at that time you said, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides, there is some goodness in it. What goodness is it in you being imprisoned and punished? So he said, if I was not in prison, I would have gone with you. And the lion, instead of eating you, he would have eaten me. So nevertheless, we learn that in every action of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in all of his decisions, there is some wisdom, whether we understand it or not. Another name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Majid, the All Sublime, the Glorious One. Majid is that being who is sublime and glorious and honorable in his being, and whose actions are filled with wisdom, and whose giving is immense. He is that being who is extremely kind to his servants, in that he showers them and bestows upon them many forms of good. He is that being who is sublime and glorious because of his glorious actions, because all of his actions are filled with wisdom, even if one does not understand it. Hence, his creation glorify him due to his sublimity and his greatness. There is no glory and sublimity other than the sublimity and the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is no greatness other than the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever sublimity, glory, and some greatness that anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, it is not but the sublimity and glory and greatness that was granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. That is why only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all sublime, the all glorious. This attribute in the Quran is used in four places. In two places it is used as a quality for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In two places it is used as a quality of the Quran. For the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَلْ هُوَ قُرْآنٌ مَجِيدٌ. Nay, rather, this Qur'an is a glory, heavenly recitation. Here, Qur'an is a verbal noun, and the huwa pronoun is referring to the Al-Qur'an. بَلْ هُوَ أَيْ هَذَا الْكِتَابُ قُرْآنٌ مَجِيدٌ أَيْ قِرَاءَةٌ مَجِيدَةٌ قَرَأَ يَقْرَأُ قِرَاءَةً وَقُرْآنًا. It is a verbal noun. And the Qur'an is called Qur'an because the verbal noun is in the meaning of ism maf'ul, ay maqru'un, because it is the most read book in the world. Because as Muslims, we don't read any book more than the Qur'an. And the more a person reads the Qur'an, this is a sign that he is very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will only allow his beloved to be in constant communication with him at all times. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a person, he gives him the ability to communicate with him through his kalam. And the other verse is Qaf wal Qur'an al-Majid. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath by the glorious Qur'an. So these are the two verses wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the Qur'an as al-Majid. Because the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is his attribute. So just like the that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is majid, his kalam, which is his sifa, is also majid. And the two verses wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions majid as a quality of Allah ta'ala, one is Dhul Arshil Majid, the possessor of the great throne, which is one of the hugest creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as alluded to in a hadith. The arsh and the kursi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are min a'zam al-khala'iq, are among the largest, hugest creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah is the possessor and owner of it. And he is Al-Majid, the sublime being. He is sublime in his being, in his attributes, in his names, and in his actions. Thus, his creation glorify him and praise him because of it. And the other verse is, إِنَّهُ حَمِيدٌ مَجِيدٌ. So this verse appears in the context of the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, when the angels were commanded to go and destroy the qawm of Lut alayhi salam. And on their way there, they stopped by the house of Ibrahim alayhi salam to give him and his wife the glad tiding of a son, Ishaq alayhi salam, along with the glad tiding that this boy will not die in infancy, rather he will live long enough to also have his own child. فَبَشَّرْنَاهَا بِإِسْحَاقَ وَمِنْ وَرَاءِ إِسْحَاقَ يَعْقُوبَ. So this is when the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam was astonished that how can we have a child in this old age? إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عَجِيبٌ. So then the malaika said, قَالُوا أَتَعْجَبِينَ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ عَلَيْكُمْ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ إِنَّهُ حَمِيدٌ مَجِيدٌ. There is taqdeem and ta'akhir in the ayah. First, they said, رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ عَلَيْكُمْ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ. And then, أَتَعْجَبِينَ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. May the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His blessings be upon you, O the people of the household of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Are you really astonished and amazed at the order of Allah Ta'ala? Allah Ta'ala, whenever He intends something, He does it. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. And there is nothing wrong with her expressing her astonishment at this. This is not like contrary to iman and yaqeen and tawakkul in Allah Ta'ala. Because the meaning of ta'ajjub and isti'ajab, when do we show amazement and astonishment? So the definition of ta'ajjub and isti'ajab is to express happiness over something that is unexpected. So the way this is translated, like in Urdu and even in English, it gives the connotation that she probably was showing amazement at the qudra of Allah Ta'ala, but this is not the case. Like, we are surprised when something good happens and it is unexpected, so we are surprised. فَلَا إِشْكَالَ. إِنَّهُ حَمِيدٌ مَجِيدٌ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worthy of praise, and He is the sublime, glorious being. The quality Hamid, and this combines in itself all of the attributes of beauty and perfection. This is a attribute that is jami' of all of the sifat of jamal and kamal in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the attribute Majid, it combines in itself all of the attributes of sublimity and glory and the grandeur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is jami' of all of the sifat of jalal. So, innahu hamidun majid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is jami' of all of the sifat of kamal and jamal, along with being jami' of all of the sifat of jalal. And who is hamid? Hamid is that being who, due to possessing all of the good qualities and all of the merits and perfections, that he is the only one deserving and worthy of being praised. Because all of his good qualities and attributes and all of his merits and perfections are his own. It was not given to him by anyone. Whereas every good quality and merit and perfection that ghayrullah has, they have it only because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to them. Thus the mahasin and the kamalat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are ikhtiyari, and the mahasin and kamalat of the makhluk and ghayrullah is ghayr ikhtiyari. If Allah ta'ala did not give it to them, they would not have it. Whether it be the khala'iq, the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are intellectual, like the humans, jinns, and the malaika, or the non-intellectual creation of Allah ta'ala, like the animals and birds and insects and trees and solid objects. This is the reason why the technical definition of hamd, the word hamd generally is used in Arabic for Allah ta'ala. And the word of praise used for ghayrullah in Arabic is madh. So for example, in Arabic we'll say madahtu zaydan ala karamihi. I praised Zayd because of his nobility and generosity. But for Allah ta'ala we say alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Because hamd means to praise someone because of a good quality and merit and perfection that is theirs, that they have on their own, not because it was given to them by anyone. And only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like this. So in the concept of hamd, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one is cutting off all of the roots of shirk. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Hamid. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-praised being, whether anyone praises him or not. Even if the entire creation become disbelievers and they stop praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there isn't a single creation to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is still the all-praised being, even if no one is praising him. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was khaliqun wala makhluq. He was muttasif, and he possessed the quality and attribute of being a creator even before there was any creation. Wa huwa raziqun wala marzuq. And he was raziq, the provider and sustainer, and the giver of sustenance and rizq when there was no one to sustain. And that is why in the Quran Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِن تَكْفُرُوا فَإِنَّ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَنِيًّا حَمِيدًا. And in another verse Allah Ta'ala says, وَقَالَ مُوسَى إِن تَكْفُرُوا أَنْتُمْ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. And in another verse Allah Ta'ala says, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. So the translation of the first ayah is, and if all of you become disbelievers and there isn't anyone to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anymore, know that you are not causing any harm to him. For indeed, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone belongs all of the heavens and the earth. All that which is in the heavens and the earth, you will not cause any harm to the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will still be the owner and king and the master of everything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of you praising him and believing in him. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَنِيًّا. He is independent and self-sufficient. If you don't believe in him, another person will believe in him. Allah ta'ala is not in need of you. وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْا يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُوا أَمْثَالَكُمْ. If you turn away from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will replace you with a people other than you, and they will not be like you. They will be believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and true lovers of him and true followers of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu man yartadda minkum an dinih fasawfa ya'ti Allahu biqawmin yuhibbuhum wa yuhibbunah adhillatin ala almu'minina a'izzatin ala alkafirin يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. O believers, whoever of you turns away from the deen and becomes murtad, and they leave the beautiful religion of Islam, don't think that you will cause harm to Allah Ta'ala and his deen. He will easily replace you. He will bring about a people who will love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love them. They will be humble towards the believers, and they will be harsh towards the disbelievers and kufr and all ideologies of kufr and shirk. And they will be true lovers of the teachings of Islam. They will strive in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they will not fear the criticism of any criticizer when it comes to speaking the haqq and speaking about and defending the deen and the religion of Islam. For every Muhammad and Abdullah that leaves the fold of Islam, they will be replaced with some Mike and Steve. And with every Fatima and Zainab that leaves the fold of Islam, they will be replaced with some Elizabeth and Stacy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of anyone. We are in need of the deen of Islam. The deen of Islam is not in need of us. يَمُنُّونَ عَلَيْكَ أَنْ أَسْلَمُوا قُلْ لَا تَمُنُّوا عَلَيَّ إِسْلَامَكُمْ بَلِ اللَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْ هَدَاكُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hujurat, they boast of their favor to you, O Rasulullah s.a.w., that they accepted Islam. As if they're doing a favor upon you and your religion by accepting Islam. Say to them, لا تمنوا علي إسلامكم. Do not boast to me that you are Muslim. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored you in that He has guided you to Iman. If you are truthful in your Iman, then you will see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep you steadfast. And He will give you true Iman and true Islam, and He will keep you steadfast upon it. Don't be arrogant and think that you are doing a favor to Allah and His religion. Hamidan. And even if you stop praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is still the all-praised being. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts the Qur'an with Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is one translation. Another translation, actual and true praise only belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is if we say the lam is lil jins. And the lam that is for jinns is to explain the haqiqah and the reality of something. Haqiqatul hamdi mukhtassun lillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. Actual and true praise only belongs to Allah ta'ala. Because when we praise ghayrullah for any good quality and perfection, we are actually praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indirectly. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the being that granted the makhluq and the ghayrullah the good quality and perfection due to which now this khalq and ghayrullah is being praised. So when we see a beautiful flower and a good fragrance and scent and smell is coming out of it and we praise it, actually we are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the being who put the good odor in this flower and made it so beautiful. When we see someone who is very knowledgeable and he has expertise in any field, and we praise them for their knowledge and expertise, in reality we are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that gave him this intellect and this mind and this knowledge and expertise. When we see a pious person and we praise them for their piety, in reality we are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has given him the tawfiq to practice upon his deen. So that's why actual praise only belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starting the Qur'an with Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, He is cutting the root of all forms of shirk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one and only being who ought to be praised. He is Al-Hamid. Rabbil Alameen, the Lord of the whole universe, the nurturer of His creation. The word Rabbun, this is a verbal noun, Masdar, in the meaning of Ism Fa'il. And here the Thulati Mujarrad is in the meaning of Thulati Mazid Fih. Rabba Yarubbu Rabban is in the meaning of Rabba Yurabbi Tarbiyatan. So Rabbil Alameen, Ay Murabbil Alameen. And the verbal noun Masdar is being used in the meaning of Ism Fa'il Mubalaghatan, for emphasis. Like in Arabic, if you want to emphasize something, then you take the verbal noun and now it gives the meaning of the ism fa'il. For example, we say Zaydun Adlun instead of Adilun. Over here, Adlun is a verbal noun, but it is giving the meaning of Adil. That means Zayd is an embodiment of justice. If you want to see any person who is a walking embodiment of justice, Unzur ila Zaydin fa'innahu adlun yamshi. Look at Zayd, he is a walking embodiment of justice. Why does Allah Ta'ala use the word Rabbun, a verbal noun in the meaning of Ism Fa'il? Because Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is the Al-Murabbi Al-Haqiqi. He is the only being who is the Murabbi. And what is the meaning of Tarbiyah? At-Tarbiyah huwa isalu shay'i tadrijan ila darajatil kamal. To cause something to gradually and slowly reach the level and degree of perfection. So Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, He causes His creation to reach the level of perfection both physically and spiritually. So we see, like, when a baby is born, it's small, and then it gets bigger and bigger. It becomes a child, then a teenager, then an adult, then an old man. We see the same thing with animals, with plants and trees. This is physical nurturing of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And imani and ruhani nurturing, iman and ruhaniyat, this nurturing happens by Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala alone. Because a person cannot have iman and Islam without the tawfiq of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. A person cannot be a follower of the Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallam without tawfiq from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. That is why the slogan of the Anbiya was وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. My tawfiq to have iman and Islam and have the ability to do good deeds and refrain from sins, this is only possible through the help and assistance and the ability that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has given to me. Tarbiyah is only in the hands of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And that is why the ulama and mashayikh, they mention a poem regarding this, to instill in the mind that the Murabbi Haqiqi is Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So long as Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala does not give hidayah to a person and grant him tawfiq, he can have all of the means for him to become close to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, be in the best of environments, but he will remain deprived. And a person might be in the worst of environments, but if Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala chooses to give him tawfiq, he will have the ability to obey the commandments of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So for this, a poem is mentioned by the ulama and mashayikh. They say, فَمُوسَ الَّذِي رَبَّاهُ جِبْرِيلُ كَافِرُ وَمُوسَ الَّذِي رَبَّاهُ فِرْعَوْنُ مُرْسَلُ. The Musa that was nurtured and taken care of by Jibreel alayhi salam, he ended up becoming one of the worst disbelievers in human history, such that he is mentioned in the Quran in a bad light, and he laid the foundation of worshipping the cow. So he is the godfather of Hinduism. All of the sin of worshipping a cow in any form, he will get all of the sin for it, because he initiated Ibadatul Ijl. And who is this? This is Samiri. And his real name was Musa. It is said that when he was born, his mother was stranded in an island, And after she gave birth to him, the mother passed away. So then Jibreel alayhi salam felt sorry for him. Like, this is a riwayah Israeliyah. There is no problem in mentioning riwayah Israeliyah if it doesn't contradict any Quranic ayah or hadith, and it doesn't contradict any of the principles of the deen. It is permissible to mention them for the sake of ibrah and taking a lesson. لا نصدق ولا نكذب. So we don't regard it to be true, nor do we regard it to be a lie. And it is permissible to mention it any maw'izatan wa ibratan, as a admonition and lesson that we can extract from this. So Jibreel alayhi salam felt sorry for this baby because the baby was stranded in an island and the mother just passed away, and the child did not have any guardian. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had raham on this child and told Jibreel alayhi salam that go to this island and take care of this child. So Sabiri, whose real name was Musa, who took care of him? One of the greatest messengers of Allah, Musa alayhi salam. But he ended up becoming one of the staunch disbelievers. وَمُوسَى الَّذِي رَبَّاهُ فِرْعَوْنُ مُرْسَلُ. And the Musa that was nurtured and taken care of by Fir'aun, the Pharaoh of Egypt at the time, who is regarded to be one of the worst disbelievers in human history, such that his atrocities are mentioned in the Quran, he went on to become one of the great messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we all know the story of Musa alayhi salam, how he ended up in the palace of Fir'aun, and Fir'aun took care of him. He was like his foster father. And he grew up in the palace of Fir'aun, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed that he would become one of the great messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why the murabbi haqiqi is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he grants us hidayah and keep us steadfast upon hidayah. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.